Gary, I just want you to set the record straight here. Just point blank, do you have a volatile relationship with your wife? Have you ever physically touched
her? No, I don't have a volatile relationship with anybody. You know, if we have our discussion, and like most of the time, the men lose. You know, if I lose or she loses, she goes that way, I go that way.
But she went not just this way. She called the police and said that you had assaulted her.
You know what? If people would want to believe that I assault my wife at 4'7" and she's 5'6".
Gary, I just want you to set the record straight here. Just point blank, do you have a volatile relationship with your wife? Have you ever physically touched
her? No, I don't have a volatile relationship with anybody. You know, if we have our discussion, and like most of the time, the men lose. You know, if I lose or she loses, she goes that way, I go that way.
But she went not just this way. She called the police and said that you had assaulted her.
Gary's mugshot. Arrested and booked last month, Gary joined the panel to tell his side of the story. But watch when he and guest panelist attorney Lisa Bloom go at it.
You know what? If people would want to believe that I assault my wife at 4'7" and she's 5'6", then they can believe that all day long. I don't care.
Well, why don't you flat out deny it then right here? Because otherwise everyone's going to look at this and say he's waffling around and he probably did it.
I don't waffle. There is no abuse that goes on in my house. I don't waffle. Now, if people believe that I'm waffling, then they can go do what they
need
to do.
Did you abuse your wife? Did you abuse her? Did you lay your hand on her?
You know what? You can go to the same place.
Did you lay your hands on your wife, Gary Coleman? Because she says you did.
And drown yourself in the ocean.
She says you did.
You know what? I have this on my head because I fell down the stairs. I don't want people thinking that my wife is abusing me.
Why don't you want to answer the question about whether you abused your wife? And everything else. Pardon me?
You can go yourself.
Really?
And quit asking
me. Is that
me.
The way you talk to your wife?
Yes, I have to, if I need to, but I don't. And I don't know you, and I don't care about
and
you.
And is this the kind
and
of thing that leads to your physical assault?
Does that matter to me?
Let me tell you
something.
My
life doesn't matter to me. Or get hit by a bus tonight.
Hey,
I'm not going to care because she's pushing my buttons, and I don't like her now. And the next thing
why
I'm going to do
tonight?
Is leave. So, all of you.
Gary, come back.
No, you.
Yeah! And that brings us to this controversy, and I really appreciate you for our season premiere bringing a controversy to our show.
Yes.
It's very good for ratings. And you could have talked about it on other shows all week. And
I
you
saved my
no.
Sarah Palin virginity for you.
You saved it for us. And if you don't know what's going on, you probably haven't been watching the news, but let's show you what happened. Seth's show Sunday night, which was hysterical as always, and the plot line in the A story was about Chris, the boy, is going out with a Down syndrome girl, played by a real Down syndrome girl who made a statement today. We'll get to that in a second. But we'll show you a little bit of what was on the show and then Palin talking to O'Reilly about it.
Continuing down with Fox News analyst Sarah Palin is in Arkansas this evening and has some thoughts on this scene from The Family Guy.
You gotta be this rude all evening? You haven't asked me anything about myself.
So what do your parents do?
That's better. My dad's an accountant and my mom is the former governor of Alaska.
So governor, what do you think? It's pretty nasty, is it not?
This world is full of cruel, cold-hearted people who would do such a thing.
This guy McFarlane who did this is a hater. When people like Family Guy do what they do, I think you got to call him out.
Seth, I got to call you out.
Must be doing something right.
Because your show,
the older Bill O'Reilly gets, the more that head looks like Rubik the Amazing Cube. Look up the reference. Saturday morning show from the 80s.
Now, the actress who plays that part, she
has Down syndrome.
And released a statement today that was in defense of you and against Sarah Palin.
Yes.
What did she say?
Yes. It was basically saying Sarah Palin has no sense of humor.
Right.
And... But
She is the queen of fake outrage. Whether it's David Letterman or you, it's always got to be somebody.
Well, this was an actress who was frustrated by this, because what Sarah Palin, I think, was doing was coming out and saying, "I'm here to defend you,"
right.
And what Andrea, the actress, had said was, "You know, this is I don't need this. I love my life. I'm very happy." And, you know, I don't need you to use this, you know, piece of cartoon footage to inspire phony pity for me, because I'm very happy and very content with my life.
And also, just so people have this in perspective, your show, it's a very long lead time to make that show. This was not inspired by Rahm Emanuel's recent comments. I mean, you've been making fun of the retarded for years.
And it's... we've had our fair share of Bush jokes, but it's
and what's funny is that she gives Rush Limbaugh a pass because he's used the word retarded many times because he's a satirist. When, you know, this is a real satirist here, which is pretty funny. And also, I mean, speaking of my little piece, which is that, you know, I've gotten some crap about this from people, too, over the years. And what I would say is, look, language is a living, breathing thing.
Yeah.
Americans have voted with their vernacular. They need the word retarded. They use it constantly.
It doesn't mean what it means. Like you're not going to call a person with a mental challenge retarded. You're just not going to do that. No one with any sense uses that term in that way.
But ironically, because of people like Sarah Palin, the country has become so stupid, we need the word retarded to constantly describe what is going on in America.
And speaking of retarded,
I have been saying the worst is coming. I have been saying it for a while. But you will find the answers in history. It's the same story over and over again. We just need to learn our own history, learn from our own mistakes, admit that we have a problem, grow a spine, and stand for the right things. Our future is not cast in stone. It does not have to be this way. It does not have to be that the greatest American generation is behind us. It does not have to be that our children will have a lower standard of living. It will be that way if we choose to believe that. I choose not to believe that. If we do honest soul searching, we are on the ground. And if this ain't your bottom, America, I warn you, some people, you know, people always ask me when there's some celebrity that's, you know, I don't know, vomiting on themselves in some, you know, rehab center, what could we have done to save them? The answer is nothing. Some people's bottom is just a little higher than others. Some people are going to die before they hit bottom.
So positive.
You cannot save them. This is a pretty good bottom. And I know this is as bad as I want it to get, but if we don't stand up now and recognize it, it's going to get much, much, much worse. All we have to do is recognize the problems that we have, admit to our mistakes, do the hard work. It may be a hard day.
I think
you
may start crying.
Been all night retching, holding on to that bowl because we went out for a party. And it may be a hard day and hard struggle, and we may work till late in the night, and our kids may be crying, and we may be losing our house. We are going to go through some tough times, and we are going to be tired as we set things straight. It is a hard road. I know. I have walked it myself. It is a hard road, but we will make it, and at night, We will be beat tired. We will be so tired. But when we put our head down on our pillow to go to sleep again that night, we can be happy because we know tomorrow it will again be morning in America.
Oh, how moving. How inspiring.
Thank you.
How inspiring.
Thank you.
Wow. People applauding him for being ashamed of themselves.
This is Jubby Ray Live. And here is your host, Mr. Ray Lytle.
Oh, yeah! And ladies and gentlemen, a group of idiots will one day take over the world. And Glenn Beck will lead them. Good Lord, he should be ashamed of himself. He should be, you know, listen to how he's scaring people.
I say bravo, Mr. Beck.
Some people's bottom is death. Really? So you're describing our country as something that's going to die?
No, he's describing some people's bottom.
He should be ashamed of himself.
No, he shouldn't.
Sure he should.
No, he shouldn't.
A charlatan. A snake oil salesman.
He is not a
snake oil. How about his faux emotional... And you have to wake up the next morning and your children are crying because you're not there, but...
You know what,
Glenn Beck? I know that you're... You know what, Glenn Beck? As long as you're doing fine.
It reminds me of William Shatner.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite bad acting.
It's a bad acting. Yes! It's bad acting. Glenn Beck is bad acting. And these morons, these imbeciles out there applauding him.
So are you calling me an imbecile?
Were you applauding him?
Absolutely.
Then yes, I am calling you an imbecile.
Yes, I'm...
You are a dear friend of mine, but I'm sorry you are misled.
That's right. I said the same thing about you when you voted for Obama.
You are misled. And I would say an imbecile if you believe anything coming out of that guy's mouth.
Like I said, I said the same thing about you when you voted for Obama.
Right. Unbelievable, these people applauding him. Then they voted.
God damn him for making sense.
He doesn't make... What do you mean he meant? What about that makes sense? Give me one solution that he gave in that gorilla. Give me one solution.
What he's saying is that we are mortgaging the future of our children and our children's children.
Listen, you got to have it both ways.
And their standard of living is
gorilla,
not as high as ours.
You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. Do you think we should have higher taxes or lower taxes?
Lower.
Then
none.
Then,
if it was up to me, none.
Okay, then you're going to have a deficit. I'm sorry.
What?
If you want lower taxes,
then you can't bitch about the deficit.
If you want lower taxes, you cannot bitch about the deficit.
Yes, you can.
You can cut
the programs that they're creating.
No, listen, your boy...
Get rid of health care. Get rid of welfare. Get rid of all of it.
And then what are you supposed to do with all the people? What are you going to do with the people? Should we just shoot the
Jesus
homeless?
Jesus Christ, just
shoot the homeless in the head?
No, they can get a
where
job.
Are the job. Where are the jobs? Where are the jobs?
If you stop taking people's money, there'll be jobs.
Where are the jobs? No, they won't. Listen, Gorilla, do you know how much of... Do you know the main reason they give welfare and unemployment isn't because they want people to have a... They want the poor people to have a better life. It's so that people will spend the money and keep the economy going. They have to. You can't not have the economy go. Because if you left it up to big business, they'd put every frickin' job in Asia. Every job, because it costs less. You just can't. This is what bothers me so much about the conservative rationale. It bothers me to no end. Well, these lazy son of a bitches should just get a job.
That's not what I'm saying at all.
Really? Like, they don't want a job? Really? Some people don't have a house. Some people don't have a house to live in. Some people don't have a shower. Who's going to hire them? And there, I don't know if you've noticed, there aren't any goddamn jobs. There's no jobs. If we lived in China, there'd be a job. If we lived in India, there would be a job. We don't have any jobs. The problem in this country isn't, the problem in this country is we don't, there's nobody hiring because we don't have any jobs. That is the biggest problem. Everybody is centering on how this side or that side's going to fix it. Listen, no side's going to fix it. Because the people that are in power are not the Democrats, and they're not the Republicans. It is the people with all the money. The corporation, corporate America. Wall Street has become too important. Now you got me sounding like Glenn Beck with my emotional speeches. Except I'm making sense. Wall Street's too important. It has become too important in this country. Having these quarterly earnings and having to cut costs. Listen, I don't want to be so serious, but let me tell you this. Lazy CEOs, bad management is the biggest problem in this country, and I'll explain. The minute you have to have a profit. You have to have a profit. The minute Wall Street became more powerful than anything else, it meant they had to return. You couldn't take a loss. Remember in the old days somebody would say, you know what, damn it, I can't lay off all my people. I got to keep my people working, so we'll have a lean quarter and we'll fix it next time. That no longer exists. Now every CEO has to increase their profit margins. Okay? There's two ways to increase your profit margins. Do you know what those ways are, Gorilla? What are the two ways to increase your profit margins?
You can either lay off employees or sell more product.
You could either A, sell more product, or B, cut cost. They're too lazy to sell more products because selling more products would require making the product better. They don't know how to make the product better. Use radio as an example. Use radio. You could either make the product better, therefore raising your advertising costs. Oh, hell, nobody's going to do that. Are you kidding? Put on good radio programs? Please. Screw that. The other way to make money is, hey, let's cut costs. I'll give you an example. A station I used to work for used to put in over $1 million a year. Used to make like $1.25 million a year. Now they don't make anywhere near that much. But their profit margin's the same. The profit margin's the same because their cost for employees is half of what it once was. We're not paying $160,000 for Ray Lytle's morning show anymore. We're only paying $25,000 for Ray Lytle's morning show. And we're only making $80,000 less in advertising on the show. So we're actually coming out ahead. That's how they look at things. And we don't have to pay insurance costs, any benefits. We don't have to have anybody in the building. Wow, this is great. Yeah, bring in that show for $25,000. Fire everybody else. This is the problem with America. Guys start looking at the bottom line. They say, well, we could make our product better, or we could make it cheaper, fire all the employees, and hire these Chinese, hire the Chinese workers to do it for one-fourth of the cost. The only problem is, what the hell happens to this country? They don't care. And we have a system in place, and you don't even hear about this, and I cannot believe we don't hear about it. We have a system in place in this country that gives tax breaks. Because, by the way, we felt guilty about dropping an atomic bomb on Japan. We have a system in this country that gives tax breaks to corporations that send jobs overseas. And every single president who has tried to overturn that tax, including the guy that's in office right now, it gets shot down because big business immediately lobbies against it. And you don't even hear it. And listen, Obama brought it up in the State of the Union. I have no doubt in my mind that they'll, when it comes time for, it won't be settled till re-election. And when it comes time for re-election, that thing will disappear from the Obama agenda too, trust me. Because he cannot win re-election without, he's not getting the John Mayer, I'm not playing the John Mayer ghetto card for Barack Obama on this one. He's as guilty as everybody else. That is what's going on in this country. It's not, Glenn Beck can do all of his, we got to work harder, this and that. It's not working harder. Working harder at what? Working harder at trying to buy stock. That's the only way to make any money in this country.
Yep. Capitalism has its problems. When it's going well, everyone's happy, everyone makes money. But times like this, people don't matter, it's just figures, and that's the harsh reality of it.
We are supposed to be a democratic capitalist society. People are still worried about socialism. Please. They better realize we're not even a democracy. That went out the window years ago.
I started to sound like Alex Jones.
We are a country that is bought and paid for by the haves. And the have-nots, they can give a rat's ass about them. And I'm telling you, whenever you say something like, we got to get rid of welfare, we got to get rid of unemployment, we got to make these people get off their ass and do stuff. Are you kidding? No.
No, I'm not kidding.
That's craziness. The American economy will crumble. We'll be speaking Chinese within 5 years. And you know what's going to happen? You know what else is going to happen? The haves and the have-not, the line between the people with money and without money is really is widening. And the people who don't have money, at some point they're going to get kind of pissed off. It really is. They're going to get angry. And then when they get angry, they're going to say, you know what, enough's enough, especially if they're not getting anything like a welfare.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you know, do you really want, especially in a country where it's so easy to get guns, what the hell is going to happen 50 years from now when they're rationing water and there's no, there's no vehicle for them to ride in? They're going to get pretty angry. Good Lord, what the hell is going to happen? What's going to happen when this country turns on itself, when poor people just start shooting anybody they think has money? Do you remember how weird it was after the O.J. verdict? The Rodney King verdict? When people went crazy?
They did it after the O.J. one, too. Just not
when people went nuts after the Rodney King verdict in Los Angeles. Oh, my God. It was insane. And the riots happened. Those people were angry and pissed off and just looking to get anybody. What happens when that starts going on everywhere? I'm serious, man. It's
I didn't agree at first with the way the banks were bailed out, but it has to be said that credit needs to be restored so people can live.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when President Bush first talked about it, I didn't understand it. And I read up on it, and then it was explained to me by a couple of people, and I kind of thought, well, you know what? We have no choice. If we don't bail them out, what the hell is going to happen in this world? I mean, that's scary stuff. You want to talk something scary? Mm-hmm. Citigroup Bank. You guys are familiar with Citibank.
Yeah, they sponsor my team.
Citigroup, they put out, they sent out a little flyer. Anybody who has a Citigroup bank account. They sent out a little flyer with their bank statements. All right? And if you read the fine print of the thing they sent out, they usually put this inside a privacy statement, okay? If you read the fine print of it, it says, effective April 1st, 2010, we reserve the right to require 7 days advance notice before permitting a withdrawal from all checking accounts. While we do not currently exercise this right and have not exercised it in the past, we are required by law to notify you of this change.
Is it based upon like a certain number?
No. We reserve the right to require 7 days advance notice before permitting a withdrawal from all checking, savings, and money market accounts. We currently do not exercise this right and have not exercised it in the past. That is in their and by the way, this is also put out on their manual, their client manual, which you can find on Citibank's own website.
There's got to be a limit on it or something.
No.
They can't just say, okay, you want $20, come back in a week.
They did.
Now, well, that's I can understand if they're taking measures like that. They want to preserve the liquidity of the bank.
Listen, this is scary.
It is a little harsh.
It's scary stuff. This is why Bush had to do the TARP. This is why Obama had to do the second TARP and bailout. We had to. Because you've got these banks doing stuff like this. This is the kind of stuff they're doing. And they're getting away with it. Why are they getting away with it? Because they bought and they paid for it. And if any congressman or any senator tries to stand up and speak against it, are you kidding? They give money to the other guy to get him out. This is weird, a scary time in this country.
Boom and bust. It's how we live, unfortunately. Both of our countries are exactly the same.
You've got, and by the way, all they're doing is they're protecting themselves from another bank run, like what happened before the Great Depression. It's just frightening stuff. But and then the other thing that makes me angry is people say we've got to lower taxes and control the deficit. You can't do it both ways. You can't.
And this is something
that Obama's trying to do too, and I don't agree with it. Obama is lowering taxes for everybody who makes under $250,000 taxable income. He's lowering their taxes, and he's raising taxes for everybody who makes more than $250,000 taxable income.
Here's what I don't understand. Why don't they give tax credits to companies who hire American workers?
This is something that was floated by Clinton in 94. And guess what happened?
Was that right before or after he signed NAFTA?
Listen, NAFTA was negotiated under Reagan is when they first started talking about it.
The first Bush
laid down the groundwork for NAFTA, and then Clinton signed it. Let me tell you something. NAFTA should have been the thing to keep us out of this mess. NAFTA was a great idea if done properly. NAFTA should have been, I mean, Gorilla, wouldn't you right now rather have all those jobs that are in China? Wouldn't you rather have them in Mexico?
No.
Why not?
Because I would rather have them in the U.S.
Well, I guess you had a choice, yeah. But if there were jobs in Mexico, none of those people from Mexico would be coming over here. You wouldn't have them to complain about.
I don't complain about, you know what? I understand why the Mexicans are coming. I understand why anybody wants to come to America. I don't have a problem with immigration. My problem is the illegal immigration that happens not just from Mexico. Okay, Mexicans get the brunt of it because I understand why they get the brunt of it, more of because people feel that when they see a job that a Mexican is doing illegally, you know, it's more open. But there are still Chinese, Japanese, Taiwanese, anybody, they flood into this country. And it's not just the Mexicans. That's the problem.
I guess the good news is the more our country goes to hell, the less they'll want to come here. You know, I think that's the good news is the less they will want to come here. They used to come here for jobs. We really don't have that many anymore.
Well, there was a strange phenomenon over here that the Polish people, every time you wanted to get a builder, or, you know, a joiner, you know, to do repairs around your home, 9 times out of 10 it would be a Polish guy, because they'd come over, take all the building jobs, because, you know, people were less taking up the trade, so a lot of people come in from Poland. So now we've found there's no people there to take the jobs, because all the Polish have gone back to Poland, because England is going to crap.
Nobody's building anything.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, of course. Yeah, it's scary, scary times. But, girl, you are correct. They should have a tax break. And this is that. And, by the way, that was, if you watched the State of the Union, that was what our president floated. But just like in 94, when someone floats that, and by the way, Clinton wasn't the only one. Bush also floated something not long after 9/11 about the same thing. A lot of the liberal people said, well, we need to open our arms with the rest of the world. That was how they got out of that one. By saying, oh, we need to embrace the rest of the world. Let them know that, maybe find out what made them so angry that want to attack us. And they got rid of it that way. But in 94, they got rid of it the old-fashioned way. Big business threw money behind people who didn't want to give that tax break, and got him elected. Because the tax break is nowhere near the amount of money they save by sending jobs to other countries. I'm telling you, it's a mess. How do we fix? The only way to fix it, the only way to fix this mess is to have some big corporations stand up and say, you know what? We don't have to make such an obscene profit.
Yep.
It'll be okay if we only make, like, for example, if an Exxon said, you know what, I guess we don't have to make $15 billion this quarter. We'll be okay with, like, $2 billion. And another corporation says, you know what, I guess it won't kill us if we only make, like, $1 million this quarter. But it's not going to happen. It's human nature to want more. It's hopeless. Greed. The scary thing is that whenever they want something, they just throw their money around. Anybody, the whole healthcare thing, you hear what they're doing now. They're trying to get the healthcare going again. And one of the things they floated is because as soon as it looked like the healthcare battle was won by the healthcare industry, did you guys see the tax and the 39% rate increase that they wanted to put? Did you guys read about this?
No.
There was I'm saying Blue Cross Blue Shield. I might be wrong. It might be another company. Immediately enacted a 39% rate increase out west. Because they thought the healthcare battle was won. Of course, they spent millions of dollars in lobbying to keep the healthcare bill from being passed. I mean, we're talking tens of millions of dollars spent to keep healthcare from being passed. And then they enacted a 39% rate increase. One of the things they're floated, and this was it was actually Obama and there's actually a Democrats and a Republican guy who are involved in this, they immediately started saying they're going to put a limit on increases that they can enact at any time if you're an insurance company. Which, by the way, if the public option would have been floated correctly, it would have kept that from happening. And immediately they start talking about that. And so immediately, what are the insurance companies doing? Instead of saying, oh, crap, you know what, let's just take it easy. We'll pull back these rate increases and we'll kind of act like it didn't happen. No, they are continuing increases. More companies are going to do increases. There's another guy that says, if I want to increase 50%, I'll increase 50%. And what are they going to do? They're just going to throw more money behind lobbying because they know that our Congress can be bought. With midterm elections coming up, The Republicans want, they want it back. And the Democrats want to keep it. And they have them right where they want them. This is the worst possible scenario. The Democrats are trying so hard to hang on to their majority. And the Republicans want so bad to get it back. These, they are so susceptible to being bought by big business right now. I mean, and how bad do the Republicans want the White House back? Oh, man. How bad does Obama want to keep it? Oh, you guys, we're so screwed. We're just so screwed. And this is why I hate getting serious on this show, because this tone of hopelessness comes in, and I just decide, you know what, screw it, let's do comedy. I'm serious. I mean, I'd rather make fun of Gorilla's marriage than I'd rather make fun of Gorilla's crumbling marriage than the United States crumbling economy.
Not so crumbling as you think, Ray.
It could be worse. It could be Ric Flair.
Wait a minute. What do you mean not as bad as we think?
Not as bad as you think.
Really? Did someone have a nice anniversary over the weekend?
I told you Friday was kind of messed up. I mean, I got out of work later than I wanted to.
Right. I knew
driving through Chatham, the freaking dog ran out in front of me. It was like some yellow something or it was either like a yellow lab or German Shepherd maybe. I smashed this thing up. And I had to go. I had to go get my car fixed. Oh, it was unbelievable. How do people just let their dog run around free?
What the hell?
And then I had to go. I came home, did a show.
Right.
And let's see. Saturday, we had...
you and your wife were going to celebrate your anniversary on Saturday, I thought.
Yes, we did. I made a huge breakfast on Saturday.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Oh, and a nice breakfast that you made?
Yeah, I made pancakes.
Did you wear an apron and nothing else?
What's that?
Did you wear an apron and nothing else?
Actually, I was wearing nothing, really. I'm an egg chef.
You got to watch for spatters.
Yeah. So you woke up Saturday morning and made breakfast while naked.
I made a huge breakfast while naked, right?
Well, nothing turned your wife on like that, I'm sure.
And then she made me dinner.
Okay.
And then yesterday we did it all over again, breakfast and dinner. And
really?
Yes, and then Mercy crawled up next to me in the new bed. And
you let your wife in your new bed? Oh, congratulations.
Wow.
Thank you.
Did you show her a good time?
We just kind of cuddled, Ray. We kissed and cuddled. And today's her birthday. Happy birthday to Mercy.
Wait a minute. You just kissed and cuddled? That's it?
Yeah.
Will she be getting a special birthday present later then?
Yeah. Maybe.
Some sausage.
Maybe.
Give that woman some birthday sausage.
So it was a very good weekend, Ray.
So you had a nice, did you do her doggy in honor of the anniversary?
No, Ray.
Straight old missionary?
No, Ray.
To make her go for the ride of love?
No, Ray.
Did you tie her up?
Yeah, did you tie her up?
Yeah, and Mercy came up today and fixed me dinner. It was really good, too.
She actually, wait a minute, your wife cooked?
Yeah, she cooked me. Some dinner again. She made me some mixed vegetables and French fries and pigs in a blanket.
Wow, really?
That was really good.
Well, maybe you are trying to fix this marriage.
I told you, Ray.
These are positive steps.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you'll actually start having sex with each other.
Woohoo!
I will be sure not to mention that on the show.
I'll tell you something. I gave it to my wife good on Saturday night.
I don't want to know, Ray.
I did.
I'm sure she doesn't want you to tell the story either. Before you start this story.
Gave it to her.
Wait. Before you start this story, I want you to think really quick on whether or not Deidre wants you to share the story or not and how it will affect your marriage positively or negatively.
She's working. What does she know? Tyson.
Yes, but it's a podcast.
And speaking of work, she might have been walking funny at work today. I gave it to her good. I mean, I gave it to her.
Oh, congratulations, Rachel. Swiftly moving on.
Yeah. We have a lot of sex. We have a lot of sex in our marriage.
And I don't know.
But I thought that I was very good on Saturday. I mean, I think I'm always a very... I think I'm very half-ass at it most of the time, but I thought Saturday I was very good.
I was driving down
I even impressed myself with my performance on Saturday.
I was driving down MacArthur this weekend, Ray.
You were what?
And I was driving down MacArthur,
mm-hmm.
and I saw this kid, probably like 11 or something.
Right.
He had like a belly button ring in his eyebrow. What the hell was that about?
By the way, if you guys listen to the clip of the day... The clip of the day, I on my Facebook page, I put up the clip of the week that I picked from all the shows from last week. And I don't know if you guys heard it. Well, obviously, Gorilla Dixie just referenced it.
Referenced what?
And, Gully, I don't know if you heard it, but I did select last week's clip of the week, which was Hillbilly Joe admitting to child abuse of his child and breaking the law. When he admitted that he let his 12-year-old child, he might not be, might only be 11, too, by the way, admitting that he let his 12-year-old child get body piercing done, which, by the way, is illegal in the state of Illinois.
Wait, was that Joe's kid?
Yes, it was Joe's child.
Oh, my God.
And we also, by the way, called New Age Tattoos and Body Piercing and talked to Roger, who does the body piercing. And he informed us that it is illegal. And Joe's wife brought the kid by New Age to have him look at it. And he told him, well, two things. Number one, the piercing was done improperly, as it was not a facial piercing that he had in his face. It was a belly button ring. And secondly, he told him to remove that immediately because it was against the law. So if you get a chance, listen to the clip of the week. It's on the Facebook page. It's facebook.com/RayLytle, R-A-Y-L-Y-T-L-E. And I hope it's about 14 minutes long, I think. Or listen to the entire show. The whole show is available up in the podcast section. So we, so of all the stuff, and there was a lot of good stuff last week. But I didn't pick that one because Joe's ignorance is... portrayed to an astonishing level.
It's like I said, right?
With that
everything
particular
that goes
segment,
wrong in his life, everything that goes wrong in Joe's life, alcohol is involved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and he admits he was drunk when he decided to let the guy body pierce his 12-year-old child.
Doesn't his lawyer come over often about every little thing? Yeah. He couldn't have asked him about the eye.
I know, he's always bringing a lawyer over. You mean the lawyer couldn't tell him that body piercing a 12-year-old child is against the law?
Yeah, that's some lawyer he's got there.
But Joe was, I got to tell you what, that was one of Joe's best ever appearances on the show, I thought, Friday.
I don't listen to it.
He really,
He didn't even need to get on.
Shut up, girl. Yeah, what? He never really yelled or anything. Did you notice that? He didn't yell, he didn't scream, he kept his head. I was proud of Joe, I really was. I thought he did a great thing.
I think he's now realized that he is truly insane, and he's one with himself with his insanity.
He's a lunatic.
You know, I wonder if I can sue the people with that dog.
Stop it. You obviously listened to the show where my neighbor's dog was killed right out in front of the house.
Scoop it up and put
and
it on
the
paper.
And by the way, the highlight, I think I talked about this Friday. The best part was my wife walked our dogs on the other side of the house because she didn't want the neighbors to feel bad that our dogs were still alive. By the way, I suggested we actually give the neighbors one of our dogs. Take one. Here.
Which one would you give away?
I don't care. Any of them.
Isn't the one that annoys you most?
No, they equally annoy me.
I think you should give them food.
I gotta be honest, I like the cat. I like the cat now. The cat's my buddy.
Give him food as a replacement.
my older brother, you mean? Yeah, just leash up the old food. He'd be an awesome pet.
I bet you.
He's hairy and loyal, just like... You guys, Wednesday night I went to wrestling. Springfield, Illinois had wrestling. It was the night before the big pay-per-view, and it was, in all my years, okay, all my years of going to the Prairie Capital Convention Center in Springfield, and I've lived near here most of my life, there was a Def Leppard concert around 1988 that was super packed that I had been to. That is probably the only thing that was either on par or more people than what I saw there Saturday night. Saturday night at the Prairie Capital Convention Center was packed. I'll tell you what, it might be one of the biggest crowds in the history of the Prairie Capital Convention Center.
Bigger than Stallions indoor football?
Dude, yes. I'm telling you, it was amazing.
Cool.
There were so many people. There were so many people at that wrestling event. I don't know what the final tally was, all right? But it was packed. I mean, packed. Hi, you're on Chubby Ray Live. Hello.
Hey, how did we not see each other?
Where were you?
I was right above you.
Are you serious?
We were in 217.
Oh, yeah, I was in 117.
Yeah. I saw your post on Facebook, and I was like, man, that looks like right where we were sitting. And I don't know, you told someone where you were at. And I didn't have my phone with me during the matches. So I was like, hell, I know I had to walk right by you a couple times going to get shit for the kids.
Did you buy tickets in advance, or did you get them day of?
You know what? We had a contest going on, and some lady hadn't picked up her tickets yet.
So I'm kind of
waiting to see if those were going to come available, because those were going to be like 15 rows.
I got to tell you, we went to the show Saturday night, okay? And I took my nephew Grant. And when we were walking up, there were probably a couple dozen people that were angry that I saw walking away, and they were cussing, and one guy was kicking, going, I had to pay for effing parking, and I ain't even going to get, and they were all angry. And I realized, oh my God, those guys are mad. Because
sold out.
It was sold out, and they couldn't buy tickets. And the funny thing was, DC. I was talking to DC earlier in the day, and I was saying, "Yeah, I got tickets." And he goes, "Oh, wow." He goes, and I said, "You should go with us." He goes, "It's a good idea." He said, "Maybe I'll go up and buy some tickets." And I go, "I said, hell, you could get some.
Right?
You'll be able to walk up and get some." And my brother Goose, and both of them decided not to go at the last minute. But I'll tell you, how angry would they have been?
Wow.
The
lady came and picked up her tickets on Friday morning. So I have a friend that works down there, and I just called and said, hey, set me aside 6 tickets. I'll be down to pick them up on my way home.
Oh, wow.
Because there was some gospel thing going on down there or something Friday night. So they were going to be down there. So I told my wife, I said, man, I'm glad I did.
Yeah, because you wouldn't have, I mean, you would have been, so it would have been sold out.
My kids would have been so disappointed.
It was insane in there. I've never seen that many people. I'm going to go right on a limb and say I've never seen that many people in there. It was so.
Well, I knew we were in trouble when we were pulling up, and the traffic was terrible.
Oh, yeah. When I saw people leaving angry because they didn't get tickets, I knew something was up. And then Bodine gave me the tickets. My brother works at a WQLZ. They had tickets. And he got them for he and his kid. He couldn't go. So he said, will you take my son? I said, yeah, I'll take it. So that's how I went. And by the way, two of the only empty seats in the arena were right next to me. So somebody didn't use 2 tickets. If you would have got hold of me, I'd have said, dude, come on down. I got 2 empties right next to me.
Well, I was glad I wasn't down closer.
It was It was it was craziness. And by the way, you can and I said this, I think I'm quoting my own self from a Facebook post. One thing about the Prairie Capital Convention Center in Springfield, Illinois, this is typical Springfield. This is typical Springfield, Illinois. They are so ill-prepared for success. Don't you agree?
It's the 6 P's, right?
Always.
They are just ill-prepared for success. They are so used to doing everything half-ass, all right? They're so used to doing everything half-assed that they weren't ready for it to be successful. They're so used to failure that they were ill-prepared for success. And all of a sudden, you had a sold-out arena, and they were like, oh, what are we going to do? Running around like they're, you know, like they're on fire. They didn't know what. The lines to get anything were terrible. The guys selling concessions, there weren't anywhere near enough of them. The amount of money that they lost out on had to be astronomical.
They didn't have somebody going, peanuts, popcorn.
No. You want to know what they were selling? Cotton candy.
What?
One of the cheapest things, cotton candy. Their profit margin. You know, their biggest profit margin's got to be, what, soda and popcorn?
Yeah.
They had nobody selling soda and popcorn.
They should have had somebody walking up and down the aisle going, soda.
I know.
Make sense.
They got like $6 sodas. It probably cost them 13 cents to fill up the soda. How do you not have people out there peddling stuff with high profit margins? No. They had someone selling ridiculous cotton candy. There was nobody walking beer through the aisles. Nothing.
They sold beer at this one?
Yeah. But nobody was walking it through. You had to go downstairs to the trucks, and they don't sell beer at the regular concession stands. You have to actually go to the truck like you're at some damn carnival.
That's ridiculous.
To get a beer. It's ridiculous.
That's what I want you to apply for, Ray. I want you to apply for manager or the overseer of the Prairie Capital Convention.
You have to prepare for success.
Yeah, well, these guys, they have no clue how to run this thing.
And then downsize for failure. That's how you do it. When you have an event like that, you have all your workers come in. And then if it's slow, you say, I'm sorry, we're going to have to send you home early. That's how you did it when you worked in – when I worked in restaurants when I was a kid, my father, manages restaurants. That's what he's done for a living. So that's what I grew up watching him. When my family owned a Mexican restaurant when I was a child, I watched this happen. When I worked for my dad when I was 13 years old and working in a restaurant, this is how you did it. You bring everybody in when you expect a big crowd. God forbid something happens, you send some people home early. But at least you're covered. You prepare for success, all right? You prepare for success, and then you ad-lib in case of failure. The Prairie Capital Convention Center prepares for failure and then runs around like they're on fire when they get success.
Uh-huh.
But guys, I do have something I want to point out of the wrestling. And this is Gully. Gully, you'll remember this segment. This is something that I like to do from time to time, everybody. I like to give people advice. Why do I do this? I'll tell you why. Because I'm a carer. I'm a caregiver. I am a giver. And all I want is for people in this world and people around me to be better off. This is why I make a point of giving.
Hold on, let me get my boots on, Ray.
Yes. So I would like to shell out some of Ray's advice.
Yes.
Time for Ray's advice. I actually need some music for Ray's advice. Hold on, let me get some. It wouldn't have been perfect if I said Ray's advice and the music would have come up immediately there.
Would it be nice?
Damn it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for me to shell out some of Ray's advice. Oh, there we go. Much better. To the black guy sitting behind me at the wrestling event, who tried to hold a conversation with me after the Kofi Kingston match, I have some advice for you. I know what it is you're saying. My advice is, you don't have to ask me at the end of every sentence. You know what I'm saying? Because I do know what you're saying. I speak English. I even have a rudimentary understanding of Ebonics. I understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. I do know what you're saying. It was completely unnecessary to ask me over and over again. You know what I'm saying? Know what I'm saying? And by the way, not only did I know what you're saying, but you were wrong. To the guy sitting to my right. Seriously, do you not have any jeans or any kind of pants that include a button or a snap or maybe require a belt? And by the way, unless you were somehow honoring Rocky Balboa from the first Rocky movie, there is no need for you to be wearing the gray-colored, cheap, stringed sweatpants that you had out in public. Oh, and one more thing. Just a little piece of advice, because what I'm giving is my advice. You need to wipe yourself better. You look like you sat on a Hershey bar.
Oh.
And you're out in public, for God's sakes. To the little kid sitting in front of me with the giant white paper poster board sign. We are in the upper mezzanine. The wrestlers are hundreds of feet away. They cannot see your stupid sign. They couldn't see it even if it was written in giant black marker. Of course, you wrote your sign with a ballpoint ink pen. And I can hardly see it 5 feet away from it. And by the way, Randy Orton's last name only has one T. To the morbidly obese gentleman squeezed into the 4X John Cena t-shirt that says, ironically enough, you can't see me. Guess what? I can see you. You're wearing a gigantic orange t-shirt. You look like a freaking construction sign. Worse off, not only can I see you, I can smell you. Use some deodorant, for God's sake!
Five knuckle shuffle off.
And to the hillbilly wearing a nacho cheese stained t-shirt. And a luchador mask. Stop screaming advice to the wrestlers. Once again, we're in the upper mezzanine. They cannot hear you! It's nice of you to scream out advice to Edge and John Cena about what move they need to make so that they don't get beaten. I want you to know that they are professionals. They get it. They got it covered. They don't need your advice on how to kick out of the pin from the upper mezzanine. You're 200 feet away from them. Stop. And by the way, it is wrong to say the F word in front of your child so much. There you go. I just thought I'd give a little bit of advice. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Ray's Advice.
I only have one question.
Yes, Gorilla.
When did Joe get a Lucha Libre hat?
He stole it.
It was, you know, the funniest part. The guy's got like this lucha, this Rey Mysterio luchador, lucha libre mask, and his kid's like, "Dad, can I wear the mask?" Shut the F up! I'm wearing the mask!
Sounds like Jeff.
Anyway,
it's like they take turns wearing it. Yes, Dave.
You know, that was the first time I've ever been to one of those. And my kids, you know, they were just thrilled to go. And
yes.
So they went, you know, we were one of the groups that had the signs, right? Even though I knew we were in nosebleed.
Right.
But my son first spells under tacker instead of under tacker.
Yes.
Nice.
And then instead of put, if you're like 17-0 or 14-0 or something like that.
Yes.
With regards to him. He wrote 0-14.
Yeah, I love it. That's great, though.
And I go, he's really 0-14?
Hey, but did you... did he write it at least in marker?
No, here's what he did. I said, you know what? I said, you draw it on a piece of paper.
Right.
And tell me what it's supposed to say. And then I said, I'll get out, you know, the big... You know, the big...
0-14.
I said, really? He's 0-14? He goes, what do you mean? I said, you wrote that he hasn't won a match.
That's fantastic.
But I loved, you know what, my wife went and I went and all, we took all the kids. And we just, you know, we did as much people watching as every kid.
You know, it's a good... I'll tell you what. The house shows are just what you saw. I mean, you know, they just come out, they wrestle, that's it. But I'll tell you, I'll highly recommend this. If you ever get a chance, go to a Raw or a SmackDown or a TNA Impact, or a pay-per-view. If you get a chance to go to any of the televised wrestling live events, it really is unlike anything you've ever seen. I've had the pleasure of attending WCW when it was around, attending some of their televised events. They were actually really gracious. They allowed me to go backstage and allowed me to go into the ring. And, you know, those guys, they came up and they were real, like Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan and Vince Russo and Ric Flair. They were, you talk about just nice people who knew how to do it, you know, back then. And the WWE people, I knew Shane McMahon. He's not with them anymore. But Shane McMahon's the one, you know, when I used to get the front row tickets and stuff, that was always Shane. He knew how to do stuff. But the WWE, their TV events are amazing as well. You've got pyrotechnics. You have the lighting with these things is unbelievable. If you get a chance to go to any kind of TV taping or a live TV event with them, it is worth the money you will pay, because you'll probably pay $30-$40, but it is so worth it. And I'll tell you something, because Springfield sold it out, there is a good chance that we might get an actual SmackDown taping or something here. When that happens, Dave, you gotta go.
My wife was, you know, why didn't they have a spotlight on the guys when they got up on the ropes?
Yeah, no, because they
were posing and everything.
Because the center didn't have anyone operating the spotlight because, once again, they are used to failure. They didn't think it would be so packed. So if you get a chance to go to a televised event, do it. You will not be disappointed. Your children will remember it forever. They put on such a fun show. And the new one is this TNA Impact. When they put on shows, they're great. Gorilla, you went to the when they did Thunder here, right?
Yeah, it was horrible.
The one when I went into the, when I was in the ring, that was one of the ones where I was in the ring.
Yeah, you had the cruiserweight belt.
And then Sting, Sting wrestled on the ramp and stuff. Lighting.
Arn Anderson was in the ring.
Yes. The lighting for those shows is astonishing. They're lit so well.
Because they bring their own guys to do it.
Yeah, they bring in all the professionals. And, of course, they got to televise it, so it has to be lit for TV. And when it's lit for television, it looks unbelievable. I went to Raw in St. Louis. They got us. They took care of us. They sent us some really good seats because I had interviewed the wrestlers so much. I got seats in 2002 for a Raw in St. Louis, and they hooked us up. And I'll tell you, that is unlike anything you've been to. I'm serious. You talk about a great show. It is a fun time, and your whole family will enjoy it. I highly recommend it. I highly recommend the TV ones. You know, it was fun on Saturday, but they're three times as fun when it's a TV, when it's a televised event.
Do you have to sign some waiver to sit down front?
No.
Did you see Undertaker throw that chair?
Yeah, no, I never signed a waiver.
Huh. Well, he threw that chair and went off the ropes almost into the first row.
They did a house show around 2004, I think. And, you know, I called, I had phone numbers to call and stuff, and I never really, like, I never wanted to abuse it. You know, I never want to abuse any privileges I got. But I called and I said, hey, can I get some front rows? And they said, yeah, no problem. And we went, and then before the event happened, this guy, Jonathan Coachman, he now works with ESPN, he was working with him at the time, and he comes over and he goes, which one's the radio guys? And I'm like, me? Oh, okay. And your name's Ray? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So he got everything, okay, and then he went back and he told the bad guys who I was and where I was. So JBL comes out, and he's a bad guy. But at the time, you know, everybody was... They were cheering him, and they want their bad guys to be booed. So he comes out, and with the microphone, and he's like, okay, I've got to get people to dislike me. So he starts slamming Springfield. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll make fun of the morning guy that everybody knows. So he proceeded to tell fat jokes about me for like 2 minutes in the damn ring. So, you know, that's when I was like, okay, that's enough for the front row. I don't need to have the guy point me out and then make fun of me for 2 minutes when I don't even have a microphone to say anything back. I just got to sit there. I just got to sit there like a tool and just take it.
Did you hear the news about Ric Flair this weekend?
No, what did Ric Flair do?
Oh, yeah, I got that one.
The second time in like a year, he was beaten up by his wife.
What? It happened again?
Yeah.
She beat the crap out of him.
I didn't hear about it.
I have the story up if you want the details.
Well, we should get to the news. Anyway, hey, Dave, thank you, buddy. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself at the wrestling. But Gorilla's right. We're running out of time. We got to get to the news. Let's get right to it. News time. Here's Gorilla.
Hello, Raymond.
Hello, Gorilla.
As Gully mentioned, our top story tonight. Jacqueline Beams, age 41, was charged with misdemeanor assault, according to the Charlotte police. Beams and Flair were married about 3 months ago.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, and apparently she has now resorted to domestic disputes. Woo! You know what the problem here is, Ray?
I don't know.
Flair married himself a Chicago woman.
Oh, there you go.
She did the Chicago way.
Well, what wife is this for him? This has got to be wife number 4 or 5, right?
Doesn't say.
So his wife hit him?
Yeah. That's his fourth marriage.
Kicked, punched, and generally slapped him about.
Unbelievable.
Woo!
Woo!
That's what she says.
I didn't even hear this. The first I've heard of this. When did they release this story?
It's today.
I'll be damned.
It happened last night about 11:40 in Flair's home.
Oh, good God almighty.
I seen the mugshot of her as well, so I can see why he was beaten up. She looks like tough as old boots.
Really? So they had her mugshot up, huh?
Yeah, she's the one who got arrested.
Let me guess. She's blonde?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
She's blonde with big boobs.
And insane looking as well.
She does look kind of crazy, actually.
Yeah.
Woo! Stalin and Poofalin! Woo! Unbelievable. That's great.
I don't know how we can, like, credibly go into a ring now and beat someone up.
Dude, you know damn well that people are going to be, like, when he walks out to a ring and stuff, people are going to be saying stuff, you know. How's your wife, Rick?
Well, he doesn't do that anymore, does he?
Yeah, he's on TNA Impact every week.
Oh, I thought he retired.
No, he's with AJ Styles on TNA Impact. He comes out every single week.
Yeah, he's screwed.
Yeah. He's very, by the way, he's very entertaining. He is still one of the most entertaining people in wrestling.
Did you see The Undertaker nearly get burnt to a crisp?
No, but don't tell me anything about that. I'm watching that pay-per-view, and I'm in the very last match right now.
Very crispy.
Yeah, I haven't...
It's legitimate as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. That's why I had to stop my DVD right there. Because I taped it last night, I put it on DVD, I started watching it, and then I had to go get my daughter and stuff, so I never finished it. I still have about 40 minutes left to watch of it or whatever, so.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Let's let the news continue on. The one and only Vanilla Gorilla. Giving you news while wearing no clothes. It's Vanilla Gorilla.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Ray.
Yes.
An apartment manager is accused of beating his tenant to death.
What?
Yes, the manager of an apartment building in Milwaukee's west side beat one of his tenants to death after becoming angry because the tenant locked himself out of his apartment.
Good Lord!
Jimmy Lamar Richardson, 52, is charged with felony murder and the death of Richard Bohannon. It says Bohannon died from multiple blunt force injury, including a fractured skull and fractured ribs. Witnesses say that the tenant lost his keys to his apartment when Richardson called the second floor of the building manager to assist him. He went into a rage, throwing Bohannon against the wall down a flight of stairs before kicking him down a second flight of stairs.
Ow.
So he beat the guy up.
Yeah, and then kicked him down some stairs.
That's awesome. I hope my landlord does that.
Claim. Claim all the way down the stairs.
How insane. Maybe my landlord will do that to the people with the headboard.
Throw the headboard after them down.
By the way, no. I don't have stairs. I don't know what's going on with my neighbors, but I have not heard the headboard in a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe they're sleeping in separate bedrooms, right?
Maybe they're pulling a gorilla.
Could be.
Maybe they have moved out of the bedroom, you know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know what happened. It's very odd. But the headboard has grown silent.
Huh.
I don't know, they're sleeping in different bedrooms or what's happening, but...
Could have run out of Viagra.
Yeah. I don't know. No headboard action. But I'll tell you, they should feel lucky I didn't have a headboard Saturday night, because I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but I showed my wife a good time.
I think you did. Moving
I
on.
Gave it to her good.
It wasn't good enough for her to post it on Facebook, right?
I gave it to her good.
See, Gorilla, we can say that we did try and move it along.
She got it good. She got it good. She was loving it.
That's story, right?
She's probably listening. She's probably driving home right now, stepping on the gas pedal, going, I cannot wait to get home and kick his ass.
Next story, right?
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the news continues. Here he is once again. Vanilla Gorilla News on Chubby Ray Live.
Orlando, Florida, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
A gun instructor accidentally shot a student in the foot Saturday during NRA class. To receive certification to carry concealed weapons.
Good Lord!
Wow.
Robert Foreman Jr., 50, was taken to Florida Hospital after instructor Michael Phillips firearm discharged around 11:45.
Oh, my God. He shot a student?
In the foot.
Ow.
I love America.
The NRA has a rule against bringing ammunition into class.
Mm-hmm.
And the NRA instructor in Orlando who was not involved in Saturday's shooting, the association said it has no problem yanking the certification if rules are being broken.
Mm. I'll be damned. How do I make that funnier? There's no way for me to comment on that and make it funnier.
It just works on its own.
Yeah.
In 2004, right, I remember seeing this video on YouTube, but there was an instructor in the school, and he was like a DEA agent or something, and he was holstering his weapon.
Yeah.
And he shot himself in the foot in a class.
Oh, I did see that. He was in front of a class of students, right?
Right.
I saw that on the internet. Yeah, that was great. It's one of those things that cannot be made funnier by my smart-ass comments. So because of that, I say...
What the hell was that?
News continues. More. Here's Vanilla Gorilla. On Jimmy Ray Live.
Hey, researchers say that porn addiction destroys relationships and lives.
What?
Yes, I know. The National Council on Sexual Addiction and Compulsion estimates that 6-8% of Americans, or 18 million to 24 million people, are sex addicts. And 70% of sex addicts report having a problem with online sexual behavior.
Really? Is this what happened in your marriage, girl?
No. Some examples, right?
So your sexual addiction is not a problem, is what you're saying?
No, it's not. Right.
Okay.
A couple of examples, Ray. A 50-year-old married physician views internet porn for hours at home, masturbating 5 to 7 times a day.
Then begins
surfing porn sites at the office and risks destroying his career. One woman spends 6 to 4 hours a day on the internet chat rooms having cyber sex and eventually started arranging to meet online strangers for casual sex in the real world.
Good God almighty.
One man spends many hours a day downloading porn, filling up multiple hard drives, and devotes a separate computer just to pornography.
What's wrong with these people?
I seem to be doing okay, though.
Yeah, if you're not anywhere near...
Are you doing people. Okay, Gully? Is that what you're saying? You're doing okay?
Yeah, my porn addiction serves me quite well.
Okay. Well, that makes me happy.
24 million people, Ray.
Mm. 24 million people addicted to pornography.
Yep.
Terrible. But you're saying that your pornography addiction on the internet is not affecting your marriage.
I'm saying I have no porn addiction.
Oh,
Ray.
Okay.
When I was younger, Ray, I used to sell porn. I was a porn peddler.
I did that. When I was in eighth grade, you get a dirty magazine, you cut out all the pictures, and you sell them to all the perverts.
No, not like that.
That's what I did. I sold the pictures for like $2 a piece. Oh, I thought you meant... I was in eighth grade.
No, I'm talking like my early 20s.
Right? I was in eighth grade, and I had an older kid buy a dirty magazine, and I cut all the pictures out, and I sold the pictures individually to perverts. That's like $1.
Do you know the pictures? Were they all the same price, or did it cost more if there was
if it was a Playboy and it was a centerfold, it's $2. If it was like a regular penthouse and some chick laying there, spread eagle, it's like $1.
Well, that's fair enough. At least you have standards.
If it was two-sided and stuff, it depended on how much porn you were getting. I mean, for God's sakes, standards. There's one kid, Mike Allen, only had so much money. I sold him a one-sided ad for $0.25. The ad had a vagina on it. That's all he cared about. Give me $0.25, and there you go.
Good transaction.
That's what you do. Mm. I don't understand why anyone would want to... There is something. Don't you think there's something wrong with somebody that... would rather take care of themselves looking at internet porn than actually do it with, you know, their spouse?
I imagine there probably is. I couldn't understand why, but, you know. The real thing's a lot better than your right or left hand, let's be honest.
Yeah. The only time I ever rub one out is either if my wife's out of town or or if I know I'm going to, you know, do something later and I want to last a little longer. Might rub out a warm-up.
And get the other one out of the way.
Yeah, you know, rub out the warm-up. You got to loosen up the muscles. You know, it's kind of like carbon up for the big race. You know?
It's just like stretching, right?
Yeah, it is.
To increase your staying power for the big
Absolutely.
Moment.
Absolutely, that's the goal.
I can understand that.
That's how it works.
I normally get my other half to do that for me, yeah. You know, a good hour or so before.
Well, I, you know, that's one of the best parts about being married. You don't really have to use your own hand to masturbate anymore. oh, well.
That's a story for another day, Ray.
We shouldn't be bragging about having sex in our relationships, Gully.
No, we shouldn't.
Not in front of Gorilla.
That's all right.
He might get waked up and have to, you know, go sort himself out.
We wouldn't want him to have to actually, you know, have intercourse while he's working out the issues.
Heaven forbid.
Last story, ladies and gentlemen. Here he is with your final story. Wrapping it up, here's Vanilla Gorilla on Chubby Ray Live.
Our last story, Ray, comes to us from Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C.
The D.C. Crime Museum puts a new display up. It is Ted Bundy's Volkswagen.
Oh, for God. Why do they feel the need to put that up?
In the National Crime Museum?
Oh, the National Crime
Beetle Ray.
Oh, the Crime Museum. Okay.
Yes, the D.C. Crime
Museum. I just heard museum.
It's not any Beetle Ray. It's Ted Bundy.
Yeah, well, Bundy, I mean, he would drive that around, and that's how he'd lure women into it. And
right.
That'd be the last.
I don't know my artifacts.
Last car they rode in right there.
I don't know who's all impressed by somebody driving a Beetle, but.
That Bundy was a smooth talker, man. He knew his stuff. That guy.
Shame about the desire to kill lots of people.
Yeah.
The car, Ray, has been stored in a private collection owned in New York by Arthur Nash, who owns one of the most grisly objects in display in the museum's main exhibit. Also from the Nash collection, clown and serial killer John Wayne Gacy's painter box.
How weird.
What would you think of the type of person that would buy something like that?
I don't know, but he's getting recognized for it. Maybe that's his thing. I know some people who bought, like, John Wayne Gacy's artwork. He painted clowns or something, and people would pay for it. I don't know what the hell you'd want that for.
No, it's obviously insane, these people.
The Beetle replaced the 1933 Essex Terraplane car used as a getaway vehicle by John Dillinger.
Wow.
So that's the exhibit they took out to put this in.
Al from D-Town is saying that Bundy took out the passenger seat, so when he hit the girls in the head, he would just throw them right in the car. I thought, either he killed them in the car, or the car was a major part of what was going on with Bundy. And he did it in a little Volkswagen Beetle. I mean, it wasn't like he needed a big van like a lot of these serial killers. Talk about a guy who could do a lot with a little amount of space.
Must have been very maneuverable.
That's right. He's a trip. Well, there you go. What can I say, ladies and gentlemen? That's it for the show. I appreciate everybody tuning in. And I invite you to come back tomorrow at 4:30 for another episode of Chubby Ray Live. We got to go. Thank you. Say goodbye, Gorilla.
Goodbye, Gorilla.
Say goodbye, Gully.
Goodbye, Gorilla.
That's it. Chubby Ray Live back tomorrow. Till then, have a great day.
Gully.
Bye-bye. See you later.
Happy Bogle.
Happy Bogle.
Good night, John, boys.